Blog Talk Radio.
To amp up the play, the Twilight Zone, we hit U2's Raised by Wolves, and we might be raised by wolves today. Welcome back to the Eat Me Cooking Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, as we're waiting for John Guy to come back in here, and prayers and thoughts are with him. Meanwhile, I've got the regular crew, Eli out there in Indianapolis. Eli, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you, my friend, and how you're doing today.
I'm doing great. As you reiterated, I'm here in the racing capital of the world. Went to the track today for practice. You can follow me on Facebook at Max Racevich.
And as you go down to Sarasota, Florida, how are you, Peggy, today?
I'm great. Nice to talk to you again. Everything's going well here. There isn't a whole lot new. The weather's always beautiful, and it's going to be fun to do this tonight.
Well, it's always a pleasure. A lot of things to talk about, and I know 30 minutes goes by quick, but I figured if everybody had a topic and we can break it down, what better way to start it? And Eli, as I give it over to you, is there a topic that you want to break down on this particular show? And we'll elaborate, and then we'll give it over to Peggy, and then I'll take a crack at it.
Well, you know, if I ride a bike, I can get to the Indianapolis 500 track. I live here in Speedway in 3 minutes or less. If I drive a car, I can get there in a minute and get inside and get parked. But, you know, the fabulous racing machines, the history with the oval, blah, blah, blah. The thing I like best about the track is the street vendor food. So I want to talk about street vendor food, because you and Peggy know that one thing I like to talk about and do is eat.
Well, so tell us about what you like about the thing, and then we'll get Peggy's response on this.
There's always go-to things that I get regardless of anything else. And being in Indiana, a breaded fried tenderloin, pork tenderloin, got to start with that. If it's in a box, if it's perfectly round, it's a fritter. Fritters, no. That's like, fritters like eating a box of dog dookie. It's got to be a real fried tenderloin. Then my second thing I've got to have is elephant ear. Which is hard on me. I am diabetic. I still eat elephant ear. I say God invented insulin for a reason.
Well, Peggy, do you want to respond on that? And as we speak, Captain Jet coming in there from New York. Welcome to the Eat Me Cooking Podcast. Minus John Guy today. The four of us are rolling, holding the fort down. Prayers and thoughts with him. Peg, what's your take?
Well, I really want to get to Indiana sometime and find those pork tenderloins and all the other unusual foods that Eli comes up with. I kind of this week looked at what some of the professional athletes, some of the weird things that they eat before a game or a match. So I was thinking about that. I don't know, since you guys are really closer to some of the athletes, you may know more than I do about this, but like, for instance, Wayne Boggs has his nickname Chicken Man. Do you know where that comes from?
Right. He loves chicken.
He loves chicken, and it was because he could afford chicken. It was the most affordable. And then afterward, he became known as a chickatarian, and he got a lot of interest for that. And the Purdue company gave him a 6-month supply of chicken that took him only a month to eat.
Wow.
And he actually went on to write his very own cookbook called Fowl Tips, My Favorite Chicken Recipes. So it's just kind of interesting what different kinds of foods athletes go after.
You know, I used to eat a very strict diet when I played sports. But even now, even though I eat horribly and I sadly encourage our listeners sometimes to eat things they shouldn't. Peggy, now every twice a year, Mark, I put on Facebook to make myself stay honest a picture of myself shirtless. And Peggy's seen a couple, and I think for 67 years old, I look pretty good, Peg.
You look really good. You must be eating something right, although you have the craziest. I don't know how you can eat that much food and keep your handsome figure.
Yeah, that's the thing. You gotta definitely keep it going, and you know it's amazing. As we get older, we gotta watch our weights and stuff. And Captain Jet, you're out there in New York. I know you're a big adamant of keeping yourself active and in shape. How are you, my friend? Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
I'm doing pretty good, Mark. You can get a hold of me through the web. It's heycap920@gmail.com.
There he is. The captain's in the four. Well, with the fatal four-way tonight. Huh?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah.
Talk about athletes eating. You know, I have my big tailgate at the MetLife Stadium. And Freeman McNeil, the former running back for the New York Jets, he comes by our tailgate all the time. And in one sitting, he ate 65 chicken wings.
Good Lord.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, if you're going to have a giveaway at a hometown buffet and it's all you can eat, don't invite Freeman McNeil.
No kidding.
No, not a good
wow.
idea.
He'll eat it out before the rest of the party comes. And, it kind of reminds me of a guy when we go to a pizza parlor, and I know a couple guys, by the time that pizza comes, you either got to get a couple slices off to the side. These guys will devour it. And now we're getting some topics. I want to bring Dalen in from Chelmsford. Trying to watch the board at the same time kind of makes it a little hard, but Dalen, a regular listener on a lot of shows here from Chelmsford, this show is absolutely nuts. A lot of people talk about it. You're talking about pizza. The worst pizzas I've had is having anchovies and pineapples on it at the same time. I think I walked away hungry. That's a bad combination.
I do not like pineapple on pizza.
Pineapples
I have my
and anchovies. Yeah. That's when you go to bed, Dalen. If you consume that, my friends, that's where you go to bed and you basically get Rolaids, otherwise, or Tums, one of those two.
Every year I have my rib fest, Mark. And we have I've eaten 35 ribs, baby back ribs at one sitting.
You know what? If you're talking ribs, Peggy, as we get you involved in this conversation, we'll get it back over to Eli, and then I'll throw a comment on this after Ray. But, Peggy, I'll just say baby back ribs are the best. You can have the St. Louis ribs. Baby backs are really darn good.
Yeah, they're kind of messy, though. You get kind of covered with sauce with ribs.
I dive right in. I'm like a pig in a trough. Oh, man.
Eli, any thought to baby back ribs?
I'll eat
St. Louis style, bountiful ribs. What's your favorite?
I like Carolina ribs and the dreaded St. Louis rib, Mark. I can suck them so clean that I sometimes crush the bone with
the teeth. The problem, here's the problem, guys and Gerald. The problem with the St. Louis ribs are just too big, and it's you know, I kind of feel like I have to be Barney Rubble or something and, you know, get in that car without the top and act like the Flintstones. But I don't know, man. The baby backs and I don't know if you're familiar, but out here in L.A. there was Tony Roma's, and there's still a couple of them left. But, man, Tony Roma's baby back ribs, well done, savored with that barbecue sauce. Barbecue baked beans, really, really good on the side. Oh, my God, and a nice blue cheese salad. Hey, leave me alone. I'm okay.
I got to have coleslaw.
Yeah.
Have you heard of Wagyu beef? It's a very expensive type of beef, and they have dino ribs. I do some writing for a ranch just outside of Dallas in Texas, and they raise these Wagyu beef, and they're raised in a really calm atmosphere, very organic, very healthy, but it's like they're hundreds of dollars to buy this beef. It's very expensive, but the dino Wagyu beef is supposed to be the best you can possibly find. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes.
I haven't heard of it. Ray, have you heard of it?
No.
Eli?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just read about it this past week, Peg.
Yeah, I've never tasted it, but I guess it's just, you know, like the best possible beef you can find. It's really
well,
really
I will tell you this. Albert from Poway, first of all, Ralph from Pittsburgh chiming in, said, I think Freeman McNeil beat Joey Chestnut out. but Albert from Poway chiming in with tacos. What tacos do you guys like? I got to have the carne asada taco. Little avocado in that thing, man. And the hottest tapatio there is. Boy, Taco Tuesdays, you can't beat that.
Yep. We did.
Fuck. You talk about Joe Chestnuts. Well, I extended a challenge to him to come to my rib fest to a rib out, and I told him I would eat more ribs than he could ever take, and he wouldn't answer the bell. He only eats those hot dogs that melt in your mouth. They stick them in soda and water, and they melt before they even get in their mouths. So a hot dog contest is really nothing. Get some beef in there. Get some of that ribs. He wouldn't hold a tune to me or Freeman McNeil.
Yeah, Peggy, and then we'll go to Eli. Any thought on that? Yeah, how about Taco Tuesday?
Taco Tuesday. Just had tacos last night, actually. Regular beef tacos at Tortilla Flats. I don't know if you have Tortilla Flats there. But they're very good. I like tacos. And I was just reading, I was thinking of Ray about the hot dog thing, which I know he's real concerned about. And did you know that Ruth ate 12 hot dogs and 8 sodas all between games of a doubleheader? A lot of these players really like to pick out hot dogs. And interesting, some people just like to eat candy for breakfast and have candy before the game. Others are super healthy, like Tom Brady, who has his own really strict regime. But he likes avocados too. He likes avocado ice cream. Interesting. Mm.
Yuck.
Yeah, that's the thing. Eli, what's your take on that? Tacos?
Oh, I did Taco Tuesday night. I like mine. If it doesn't have a combination of two types of hot peppers on them, though, they just don't count. I like spice, and spicier. If it doesn't lift the paint off the floor, if I spill it, then it's not hot enough. We're talking about eating a lot. I did enter two eating contests in my life. One of them was the Golden Arches. You had to see who could eat the most McDonald's cheeseburgers in 10 minutes. I choked 22 down, had the 23rd one in my mouth when the buzzer went off. I did not win, but I think second or third. And I used water to get them down. Because, you know, I was a football lineman and I was little, so I had to eat a lot all the time to keep weight on. And I didn't have any trouble. I got kind of bad after about a dozen, and I knew I wasn't going to win, but I gave it all I had because I do like to eat. Stacy amazes when I get the Papa Murphy's double crust pizza. It has 5 pounds of cheese on it. I can eat a whole one of those.
Oh, my.
It's supposed to be
wow.
Like family.
That's a lot.
Someday I'm going to be real happy.
I've sat down and I had a family-sized calzone that weighed 6 pounds, and I
there
ate it by myself.
Now you're talking. Were you a football player,
yep.
Ray?
Huh?
Were you a football player?
Hockey.
Ah, hockey, okay. Yeah, I noticed. I was a lineman. We all have hefty appetites.
Yeah, all linemen have hefty appetites.
But I'm a rarity there. I weigh about 45, 50 pounds less than when I played.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys hate to say it.
Well, let me get it. Yeah, keep on going.
Ball. He played college ball, and he was a lineman, a guard, or he played center, too. And, yeah, the NFL were looking at him. But all of a sudden, he lost interest in it, and he weighed 270 pounds. I mean, and he could run, and he could hit. He was built like a machine. And now he quit football altogether. He's a teacher. He ended up to be a school teacher. And he dropped almost 75 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I will tell you, the NFL likes wallets too, more or less. And we discussed it in the pre-chat. And my rant was a lot of things are costing money. I don't know how people can afford to go to these games. Cap, we talked about it earlier. That more or less that it costs a lot to get into these games, ticket prices and everything. Simply amazing what these prices are. We talked about a sweatshirt with Dodgers screen printed on in the left-handed corner looking like a name tag in a hotel, $120. I don't know where it's going, but I will tell you, I think more and more people are going to figure out that, you know what, maybe you don't have to get it there and you can get it somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, with my season's ticket and my tailgate and everything else that I do, I build the helmets and everything else, and a lot of times I used to give them away, but now I have to get back what I put into them. It costs me $3,300 a year, a season, between my ticket, my tailgate, and building my helmet.
Wow.
So
do you think it's worth it, right?
Peggy, any thought to the high prices at events?
Yeah. I know that are high enough without all the anything that you get to eat at the games are very, very pricey. And I know a couple of my friends are really, really into the Bruins and the Patriots, and they always get all decked out for every sports event. But they always go to Goodwill and find pretty good deals on jerseys and sweatshirts. And that seems like a good option to me because $3,300 a year is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
It's a lot of money, and I complain like hell, But you're talking to deaf ears. They don't care. They don't care.
Not just majors. I mean, we have a beautiful one of the best in the country, AAA baseball stadiums here, and it's hard to take a family to a game there now. If because you take your kids, they're going to want something to eat and drink. And cheaper, but the concessions aren't any cheaper.
Yeah, we had a AA team for the Yankees on Staten Island, and it was a Yankees AA team, and they built a beautiful stadium, and it lasted 3 years. couldn't afford it. You couldn't take people, you couldn't take your kids out at night to see a Triple A Yankee game. You couldn't afford it. And the Yankees walked away from the stadium.
Well, not only that, you see what's going on in Oakland. The A's now have 1 foot. We talked about it earlier in the show. They're going to Las Vegas. It seems like the A's, when they draw, and we've talked to quite a few of their ex-players and stuff, you know, 10, 11 people show up and everybody else dresses up as an empty chair celebrating Halloween 365 days a year. So it's sad to see a team that's been in Oakland that long out of there. But I don't know what to say other than, you know, they should keep it with a local investor in the city and stuff like that. But the place looks like a mausoleum. You got to do something about it. Hell, they did something about it in cities like Baltimore, Cleveland, Pittsburgh. I don't know why Tampa and Oakland haven't got on this bar yet, but, you know, they're losing their teams, and it's not fair for the people who have been supporting it. How do you take the A's out of Oakland, winning all those championships in the 70s? We'll start out with you, Eli. We'll give it over to Ralph that's listening. He's basically sending some comments, and we'll give it over to Peggy then after that.
You know,
Eli, any thought?
Yeah, I live in a city where when I was growing up as a little kid in West Virginia in the 60s, I was a Packers fan, but my second favorite team was over in Baltimore called the Colts. You know, who would have thought the Baltimore Colts, I mean, one of the primary,
yeah,
you know, NFL teams would move to Indianapolis of all places. And it was a dirty deal for Baltimore. I don't blame them for still hating Indianapolis, but I just don't see – there's nothing to stop anyone from moving anymore. You know, only people who get hurt are the little people, you know, the fans.
Yep.
Yeah.
They build these stadiums that the states invest, like in New York, they're investing in Buffalo. They built that beautiful stadium up there, and the taxpayers are screaming that it was on the taxpayers' dime. And and the ticket prices, everything is through the roof. You can't eat in the stadium. It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, the city doesn't get any of the concessions for the last stadium we built here. Jim Irsay gets it all. So we get nothing from the concession. It's a joke. And you know, it was built to have the state high school football championships there. And the first year that it was open, the Colts weren't going to let them play there. And there was such an up that they finally reneged. It was really important to me because my sons won state championship game that year. But it's just sad. Cities just lose their mind for these teams. And you know, I'm kind of like, take them. You know, it won't impact my life at all.
Yeah. Peggy, any thought to that?
Well, we're kind of lucky down here because we have a lot of spring training camps. So if that's not really affordable way for families to get out and enjoy a game, and we have the Orioles, the Red Sox, the Atlantic Braves, the Astros, the Twins. So it's an opportunity for families to get out and enjoy. It's not the level of play that you're talking about with the big stadiums, but it is a interesting thing that really attracts people.
Well, Steve from Corvallis, Oregon, chiming in, basically says everything's expensive, guys. You go to a concert or something, ticket prices have gone up. Hell, you buy a shirt, it'll cost you $50. I can atone to that, Steve. I went to a Springsteen concert years back, and the shirt must have been dirt cheap. And then the second time we ever went back to another concert, the darn thing, they wanted $50 for it. And I'm going, wow. So, you know, it's a ripoff all the way around. I guess you got to eat. Or some of the stadiums are letting you bring your own food in. Maybe that's the way it will go, where they'll get the families in, but the parking and everything is just a complete ripoff across the board, and some people can't afford it, and it's sad. I know, Cap, we talked about it. The parking for where you go for the Jet game will cost you $100 easy.
Yeah, well, they got a new company in there, that took over the parking. The Jets walked away from it. The stadium walked away from the parking. They have a private company in there. They lease the land to them, and they can charge whatever they want for parking. It's going to be a nightmare this year. And Jets fans and Giant fans are walking away in droves. I'm very seriously thinking of walking away. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I'll tell you one thing: the Jets will get to the AFC Championship game, and then you'll have every long lost brother and cousin come to you and ask you for tickets.
Yeah, I know. And they keep dangling this Aaron Rodgers on a string, and it's like a bone over a dog. They keep dangling Aaron Rodgers in front of everybody's faces, and the guy hasn't signed yet. I honestly believe he's not going to sign with us.
Well, that's going to be interesting. Hey, as we start to wrap this up, let's put the final touches. Do you want to comment on that, Eli, and let everybody know how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, I'm a Packer fan, Ray, but my favorite AFC team is the Jets, so I win either way. And like I say, if you want to know more about me, send me look me up on Facebook, Max Raisovich, RaiSovich.
Okay, Peggy, any comment on what Ray was talking about, and how can people reach you?
Well, I think everything's gone up so much. I don't know how people are affording to do all the things that they love to do. I just don't know where it's going. And if you want to reach me, I'm on Facebook. It's just Peg Palmer on Facebook. And my email is pegpalmercreative@gmail.com. So I'm welcome to hear from anybody who has anything to say. And we don't have any nude beaches near Sarasota. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Get that at last a lot here as far as the nude beaches. Boy, that was a topic that took on a life all its own. Ray, as we every time now I see the summertime coming out in L.A. and I see something half-nude, I'm thinking about this show. Ray, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as we reconvene next week.
Yeah, you can get a hold of me at heycapt, HEYCAPT 920 @gmail.com.
It sounds like a social security number.
Yeah. I wonder what your password is. That's really detailed.
And you guys can get a hold of me, well, you know, XM 203, Sirius 217, WWDBAM 860 out of Philadelphia, Marianne and Sal, Pittsburgh Pirate Podcast tomorrow morning with Tarrant Brock, the San Francisco Giants Podcast with Alex Berg at 8 o'clock. Flip that over to the 3 hours where you guys are located. And then a list of other things as we keep the Eat Me Cooking Podcast going. We did talk about food today, so we've kept the title intact. Yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying thanks for tuning in. For Eli out there in Indiana, Peg in Florida, Captain Jed in New York, we'll be back next week. Catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/ Mancini Sports Podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Thank you very much for tuning in. I can't wait to do this again next week with the three of you. Have a blessed night.
See you guys.
Have a great night.